Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried. Let's go to approval of September 27th, 2022, minutes attachment 3.2.
I'm going to make the same motion that we table these minutes because there's been no decision made by the board on the not putting in the names for the motion, because I feel like our transparency to our membership just gets darker and darker instead of more and more open.
Did have a motion to approve by Karen first. Do we have a second to approve? Do I need to do Karen's motion first, then Anne's in terms of seconding? Okay, is there a second for Karen's motion to approve the September 27th minute?
Second.
Okay. And is there a second for Anne's motion to table the September 27th minutes? Okay, hearing none, is there any further discussion on the approval of the September 27th minutes?
The only thing I will say again is we are not open and transparent for our membership if we don't put those in.
We have a motion in a second. Can I please have a roll call vote, please?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Chandler? Kat Chandler?
No.
Jenna Griffin?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Motion carried. So to action item 6C, director and staff activity report, attachment 3.3. I have a motion and a second to approve the director and staff activity report.
So moved.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kelly. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Another roll call vote, please.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Motion carried. Let's go to item 7, acceptance of September 2022 bills, attachment 4.1. I have a motion to accept the bills.
So moved.
Thank you, Kevin. Do I have a second? Thank you, Chastity. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on these bills? All right, so one more roll call vote.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
And Chandler?
Yes.
Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ann Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Kraus?
Yes.
And Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Joshua Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried. September 2022 financial report. Rhonda?
I'm hoping to stand here. What I'm going to do. Good evening, everyone. The financial reports in your packet tonight are for activities as of September 30th, 2022. And I'll highlight some items that are in the narrative, the grant status, the system area per capita grant, the FY2023 system area per capita grant, as of September 30, has received $730,330.34, which is approximately 19% of that grant. IHLS did receive two additional checks this month. One was the third Live and Learn portion, payment of that portion that were allocated from that specific funds. And that was for $365,166.67. And the second was the general revenue portion of the American Rescue Grant. And that one was for $1,069,129.81. So that brings us to a total of 55% collected of that grant. And those two payments, those two additional payments I just mentioned, will be in the financial statements next month. But I did want to bring her say thank you to the Illinois State Library and also let you know that we did receive them. And so, like I mentioned, these activities are as of September 30th. So there is a target benchmark remaining should be 75% for all budget line items, except for personnel, which should be 73% in the statement of revenue and activities. And the column IHLS approved FY 2023 total budget remaining percentage. So any items with percentages less than that are noted with an explanation at the bottom of each of those statements. So on the general fund under the statement of revenue and expenditures, the total revenues year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 22.8%. That's to do with the collection of that center at the grant at that time. And the total expenses year-to-date actuals are below year-to-date budget by 4.8%. So well with our expenses on the general expense side. So under share, the fees for services and material, the year-to-date actuals are $1,360,450.92, and that represents 89.8% of the projection of the FY2023 that's been filled out so far. And out of that amount, we have collected 88.3%. The total expenses per share, the year-to-date actuals are above year-to-date budget by 17.9%. Again, that has a lot to do with the large Polaris bill and those large expenditures that are booked. On the balance sheet side, the general fund, the cash and cash equivalents for that total is $4,666,827.92. And that balance will fund general fund operations. An estimate of 12 months based on the FY23 approved expenditure levels. That fund or that balance would also fund the general and special revenue funds for an estimated 9.8. Share side, the cash and cash equivalent, the total is $3,038,761.35. And that represents $1,249,087.42 that are in share reserve funds, $112,088.06 in the committed funds, and the $1,677,585.87 that are in the share operating unrestricted funds. So that unrestricted amount would fund share for an estimated 10.4 months based on their FY23 contribution budget. And I will note here that we did move over in September their contribution of shares cash from their operating cash over to their reserve fund that they have budgeted $140,500. And then we had a request last month's meeting to include a statement of cash flows. And so this statement is included in your packet, and it shows the September activities that affected the cash balances. Does anybody have any questions for me? Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Can I have a motion and a second to accept the September 2022 financial report?
So I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ann. Do I have a second? Thank you, Ryan. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Can I have a roll call vote, please, Stacey?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Bounds?
Yes.
Stacey Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffin?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kelsey?
Yes.
Cassidy Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried. Freedom of Information Act update, Karen.
There is one. This one. A commercial FOIA request from Smart procedure, or smart procurer, sorry, was received for purchasing information records. This is a regular quarterly request, and it was billed within the time allowed.
Okay, thank you, Karen. How about open meeting act update?
No update.
No update, okay. Is there any public comment? No, okay. Let's go to communication, Illinois Library Association annual conference update.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks to all of you that were here with us in beautiful, now sort of sunny Carbondale, no more rain. And thanks to all of you that are joining us online as well. We had a really good session in our during the annual meeting. We had a presentation on grants following the money from Leah Gregory and Annie Yackel, and then Representative Patrick Windhorst. Great conversation, I think, from him as well. Maybe we will ask him that. Something else. So he had a lot of information to share, so it was really good for the group. Several of our staff attended the Illinois Library Association conference. So if you're seeing on the screen, we're just going to live through a slideshow. I think we had about 20 staff that participated in all. There were also three board members. So this is a board meeting. And the one comment I want to make, and then I'm going to turn it over to board members that were present, was that if there's a theme I think would be common, it's that it's really good to be together again, good to be in person. Felt that same way being here at this meeting tonight. And the conference was very well organized. And so Linda McDonald, Josh Short, and Ryan Johnson were at the conference, if you want to share anything. It was so good to be back and to see a lot of people that I haven't seen for 3 years, it seems like. And the sessions were great. I'm so proud of Heartland Library System. They were very well represented, and they had the best exhibit, I think, and the best swag.
It was a busy conference, but it was a good conference. I was fortunate enough to also take two staff members with me, and I know the value that my library got out of having multiple people present at the conference. So I'm sure IHLS will share and benefit in a similar way, not only from the professional development during the official activities, but then the team building that came as a side effect of being in a place, you know, together and having that social aspect to it. I agree with Linda. It was nice to be in public with people. I told my board that these conferences are kind of like stepping off of a treadmill. It gives you a chance to catch your breath. It gives you a chance to reflect on why you started running in the first place. And then you can hop right back on and start doing some good work. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a blast. It was great to see people in person, but also to network, to get to see our members, to build a relationship with board members from Rails, as well as their upcoming staff changes. I'll talk about libraries to anybody. See what people want to talk about libraries about, I probably won't stop. I learned so much to that I'm able to bring back to our system, to my own library, and it was great. That's all I got. You guys have any questions? Okay. And Sarah Taylor is going to share about Member Day.
Oh. Thank you. Hello, everyone. So this year, Member Day Rising to the Challenge is less than a month away. That's scheduled for November 17th. We're at 81% completion for planning so far, so really close to being done so far. We have 293 registrants, excluding system staff and non-member speakers. Agencies represented are 7 academic libraries, 41 school districts, 99 public libraries, and 6 special libraries. So 153 district member agencies have registered to participate, significantly higher than any other year. Many public libraries have registered several staff members at the same library, some up to 10, with the expectation that this will serve as a quality staff development opportunity for our libraries. So, and also this year we have 12 exhibitors and 5 partner agencies, including Rails and ILA. So very much looking forward to Member Day on November 17th and the opportunities that this event is going to bring. Any questions for me about Member Day? All right, thank you.
Sarah. All right, let's go to IHLS in 2022. Leslie?
This is our, we are now in our 12th year. So kind of reflecting back on the 11 years that we've been together, completed years as a library system, a super library system, as I like to say, I'm really grateful that we continue to demonstrate the same values of service to our members through transparency, through appropriate use of and stewardship of public funds, to focus on member needs and to serve members through innovation. That's one of the things I think that we've consistently focused on, is how can we do this one service better? How can we improve delivery? How can we improve resource sharing? So tonight, I just want to talk a little bit about, we have another slide. More slides? No slides. Okay, sure. That's fine. I'll just keep talking. Okay. So things that we focused on in the last year, that projects that I believe had an impact internally and externally. In communication, our staff continue to target information to members based on current concerns. And one of those would happen to be like our Freedom to Read campaign that's available. There's information available about that on our website. In HR, human resources, the acknowledgement of our workplace policies and staff focus, I believe, is a credit to our leadership in that organization. So that acknowledgement through the top workplaces designation. Thank you very much for everyone who has been active with that. In membership, every time we add a team member, we add an area of focus. So this past year, Leah Gregory joined us in the school libraries role. That was awesome. And our services are expanding just as she's here. Anyway, then with Share, obviously this year they had the completed the delivery of a mobile app with their accompanying communication and marketing tools to help patrons learn more about the experience and appreciate the experience. Also, there was more work done on getting to more common loan rules, maybe not one set of loan rules, but more consistency for patron experience in IT. Really, there was a slideshow, so we'll just keep going. In IT, you're moving the management of all of our IHLS computers to the cloud, and then enabling robust security and flexible security configurations. Whether our staff is in the building or working remotely in finance, the full implementation and integration of the Microi timekeeping system, that was something that was really needed by our organization. We're happy to have that fully functional. And then in operations, we reintroduced delivery on the go service, and very soon afterwards saw a marked increase in usage by member libraries. This in turn reduces the wait time for library materials to many members by one day, which is really, really huge in this situation. So we're really happy about that. And projects we're looking forward to this current year, for HR, the full implementation of using Microsoft's TeamFlex performance appraisal system and working more with members on HR education and resources. In operations, improving our relationship with the consortium of academic libraries in Illinois, CARLI, through our 5-year lease for office and meeting space in our Champion building, plus further exploration into the benefits of an automatic materials handler system. For the board, improved board member experience and engagement. For IT, member library support and additional focus on Microsoft Intune that allows installation of software and custom settings for the computer based on who is logged in. Membership this year, we will include, because we are going to add another person to the membership team or the bench, we'll have a focus more on continuing education, as we're going to be looking for someone that to be a CE coordinator for us, and really excited about that, plus the development of the trusted training portal in finance, working more closely with members through consulting hours, and obviously assisting with a deeper dive into the possibilities of an automatic material handler system. Is currently and will continue to carefully consider a shared discovery layer, so I'm sure you'll hear more about that later. And in communications, we'll have rolled out our updated website with additional functionality.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Let's go to human resources. Staff report attachment 10.1 does not require any action because it is just resignations. We do have some secondary employment.
So the secondary employment statements were posted on our board internet. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay, motion to approve secondary employment. Thank you, Kevin. Do you have a second? Okay. Thank you, Linda. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Kind of a roll call vote, Stacy.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Chandler?
Yes.
McGriffin?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Motion carried. We have no personnel action tonight, so let's go to the Illinois State Library report, Greg.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's nice to see everyone together in one big room, and I wish I was there myself, but it's not to occur this week. So we're focusing right now on our work with the library systems on the annual reports that were received and reviewing those documents. We'll be meeting again tomorrow regarding any questions that we might have regarding those submissions, and we'll be getting back to each of the library systems with that. The TRIET database trial, this is the 19th year for that. That is up and going. It began October 1, it was available October 1, and I believe that all past participants, libraries received information from our office on logging in. Those databases will be available through the end of November for libraries to determine if such is right for them. I think we're also very interested in seeing what becomes the most used database, for some possible opportunities for libraries statewide with that. The ILE conference, or the Association of Illinois School Library Educators conference, that is next week, as many of you know, and our office will be participating. That Secretary White will be there. He's being honored at the luncheon on Friday. Unfortunately, because of a surprise medical issue in a family, I will not be there. But he will be there along with Karen Egan. So we will look forward to the outcome of that. We have begun the FY24 budget process for the state library and for all types of libraries in the library systems. Our initial submissions to the Secretary's budget office have been made. We'll be getting a series of hearings both internally and externally. A lot of decisions will be forthcoming this year because we will have a new administration. And we have yet to see what their priorities will be for the office as a whole, or even for libraries and library funding, maybe some new initiatives that could come out of that as early as the first year for the administration. We've not had to go through a transition like this, as everyone knows, for 24 years. But this, I guess, is my third go around. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds with this. So as far as grants, we did receive well over 600 applications for school library funding. Those were due October 15th. We're in the process of reviewing those now. We hope to expedite that process this year and get the announcements made and the payments out as soon as possible. Reminder from my remarks last month, public library per capita grants, those are available online. The due date is January 30th of 2023. Live and Learn construction grant applications are due January 15th of 2023. And we seem to have a lot of interest in library construction right now, which is a good thing. I do believe, even though construction cost has gone up tremendously at this point. And I think it will call for some changes, you know, for future funding as far as the Public Library Construction Grant Act and the dollar amount we can fund per square foot. Stacy is aware of this, Leslie possibly too, about the cancellation of the State Library Advisory Committee meeting this week. We simply found that it was necessary to do so. The next meeting is scheduled for January 26th. Stacy and Chair Barry and I will be meeting the first part of December regarding the agenda for that, finalizing an agenda for that meeting. Even though we had some topics for this, we'll probably move forward as well. But I would encourage anyone on this board, at the system or at any library, to please contact these members of the State Library Advisory Committee on possible issues of interest to your organization. That is the purpose of that committee, is to advise the state on what are the issues and what the state might be able to do. It's not always possible to do that, but I think that that connection to those ISLAC members is very, very important. So that's really all I have for this evening.
Thank you, Greg. So to committee reports, since Alan is there for half of the executive, Loretta, would you mind going over that?
Sure. We really had three primary areas that we talked about at the meeting. Proposed changes to the financial policy. Edwardsville roof update and construction of the Farley office in Champaign. The main things of this lesson.
Okay. How about budget finance, Jesse?
You can't hear.
Oh, sorry. The financial reports, which we already talked about, and then everything that Loretta just mentioned.
Okay. Policy and membership, Stacy?
We did not meet, but I promise we will this month.
Okay. How about facilities and operations?
We met on October 11th. Some of the same topics of conversation from the executive committee meeting, with addition of the automatic materials handler and the steps as far as that goes.
Personnel, we met at the beginning of the month to go over the changes being made to our organization as an outcome to our top workplaces initiative. I think that's all we covered. Jill, shaking your head. Yes, that's all everything we did. How about advocacy and education, Karen?
We need to see what the outcome of the election is.
Okay. All right. That's a solid plan. Partner reports, we don't have anything from IO, but how about ILA?
Well, as you can imagine, we've been focused on the annual conference, make sure that got executed well, and it did. So we have a meeting scheduled tomorrow to kind of go over all the ins and outs of that conference, what went well, what could have went smoother as we plan for next year's conference, which will be in Springfield. I made a plug last month at this meeting for the ILA Trustee Forum. I will repeat that plug. If you or anyone in your circle, library folk, are interested, you can reach out. There's no obligation to join, but you can reach out. Just let me know. I can put you in contact with the right person. That Trustee Forum is trying to build a statewide coalition for training, for information, so that trustees throughout the state
have all the tools and resources that they need to do a good job. That's all I have.
Okay. And ISLAC is not going to meet because they're meeting in December, right?
January.
Okay. That's the partner reports. How about unfinished business? Carly, office construction, Leslie.
So I'm happy to report we're on track with the building improvements prior to Carly's staff moving into our building in Champaign. It turns out that there was no need for special permitting for us to have another agency in the space with us because we meet an exception in the City of Champaign Plumbing Code. We do, but we're happy, and we're hoping to have that work wrapped up hopefully by the end of this calendar year.
Okay. Any questions? All right, automatic material handler next steps.
Last Thursday, we were able to update our members about where we are with the AMH. There were about 39 right, members in attendance, which was great. Ellen and I attended from ILA from our hotel room, so that was fun. Lots of good questions and feedback, a lot of good things to think about in the questions that members raised. We've also shared that we are looking for folks to volunteer to be on a working group to learn more about this. We've already had several that have reached out that want to participate. So there is a recording on our website now, I believe, of the entire Members Matter session, but we also have one for just, as a member requested, just the discussion of the AMH. I don't know that that's up yet, but I'm sure that we'll promote it when it is.
Are you planning to reach out to the members to see what it would cost individual libraries as part of your research?
Yeah, I would think everything's on the table. That's part of what that working group will be looking at.
Okay, moving forward, IHLS Board of Directors meeting minutes. Stacey?
Yes. According to the bylaws, the board secretary has the responsibility for the records of the board of directors. February 21st last year, myself, Stacey Bushong, and members of exec met with Eli Mina. Eli Mina is a meeting management expert, a board effectiveness consultant, and a professional registered parliamentarian to ensure that our meeting minutes were capturing the significant points made by the group. And we're not just capturing things that were not pursued by the group, but or by one person, that they should reflect the board as a whole and not be personally focused. At that time, then in March, we had a board learning segment on the best practices for the body of the minutes. At that time, we had on our best practices that we would record the names of the members who motioned and seconded the item. The recommendation by Eli was that we not do that because recording the person motioning and seconding, because an individual motions or seconds doesn't mean that they support the item. It means they want to move it on for discussion. We had decided at that time that was too big of a change to make, that we wanted to make sure that everything flowed and everything went okay. We were going to change it when the next fiscal year started. Well, things sort of fell apart and we didn't do that. And so then it just sort of got adopted without bringing it to you guys. So tonight, as the secretary and the person who's responsible for the meeting minutes, I move that we no longer record the person making the motion or the person seconding it. That information will still be available because we're recorded, but it will not be available in the minutes.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Karen.
Can I just ask that was what Eli had suggested. He suggested that information be no longer included in the minutes. Is that correct?
Correct.
My question is, has Eli ever been on a board for an organization that is tax-based nonprofit? My second point is that Leslie said, transparency. We aren't putting discussions in. You want to vote, not to put who makes the motions in. So that's, to me, that's kind of ironic, because that means there isn't the transparency. And the response will be, there's a tape they can listen to. They're not going to listen to the tape. They're going to look at the minutes. And right now, they don't feel like there's transparency. And right now, if you look at those minutes, unless you actually attend the meeting and you look at those minutes, you have really have no idea of what has gone on or what has happened. So I think we're not doing our membership any favor by that. And I know you consulted this person, but I bet he's never been in a nonprofit tax-based organization board. And the other thing is the board minutes are for the board and what they want to relay and the image they want to relay. So those are my comments. Number one, that it shouldn't have been sprung on us. It should have been voted on before, which I think people realize. But I can't, you know, it just, we're not open and we're not above board. And if you get asked to meet your members, they will say the same thing. So I think it defeats transparency objectives.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion?
So if he's a certified registered parliamentarian, that means he's an expert on nonprofit.
Correct. Yes, he's an expert in Robert's Rules. He literally wrote the book on minutes.
So that kind of goes against.
Hi, I have, this is Sarah Hill. I have something I'd like to add. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
In my, I've been on a lot of nonprofit boards. For 3 years, I was on the Young Adult Library Services Association board, which is the division of the American Library Association. So this was probably about 5 years ago, and we went through a training too about board best practices, and that's when we learned about this. So YALSA, division of ALA, has been doing minutes the same way for at least 5-6 years since we went through that training.
Thank you for your feedback, Sarah.
So, you're welcome.
I just suggest that maybe the motion was that we, from now on, I'd like to suggest that maybe we do it retroactively. So we don't have to go back and change all of this. So instead, she said that the motion is that from now on.
Okay.
So we've got 3 or 4 minutes. So it just needs to be a motion to retroactive.
No, that's a very good point. Stacy, do you think that's a good idea to go back and say, starting the retroactive, say, this school year's minutes and any moving forward would be that way?
Yeah.
Because we've already been doing it, this would let us, like, I guess.
We started last month, right?
At least 2 months. I think we're okay with that.
Stacy, other than what you outlined about why you may not want people listed as the motion and the second, what other possible negative ramifications might that have? Or is that the depth of it?
That was basically most of it. It's just, it's usually a driving force for getting the discussion going. And that a lot of times people second, not because they support the motion, but because they want to see it open up for discussion.
And yet we don't even report out our discussions in our minutes. So I fail to see your point. And I just think you're doing a disjustice to your people.
You have a roll call vote that is recorded.
It is recorded as it is recorded, and then it is broken out when somebody says no. Yes, you're right, but it still doesn't give your people information about who's thinking what on the board or anything else. And like I said, discussions are left out, which I question that as well. So,
well, our minutes are to capture the significant points made by the group, not brief comments that are made by just a single person.
But you don't even put in discussions that are made by groups. I mean, you can look back on your record on what I brought up before on discussions. So, or it says a discussion was held recently. It said a discussion was held, didn't say what that discussion was. So I said, you're not being open and transparent to your membership when you don't let them know what was going on, what the discussion was.
But Stacey Bushong has gone over this in our board learning. The minutes are a record of what happened, what we voted on, the actions taken. It's not a record of the discussions. And if they want to, if they really want to know what the discussion was, we have the audio out there. If they're that interested, they can go back and look it up.
Well, if you read the Open Minutes Act, last sentence, it says discussion should be put in there. So, and I read it over, and even the lawyer had said discussion items should be put in. So, you know, I disagree with you, and I think it's a disservice to our members who have already saying there's lack of transparency. So I think you're just closing it up even more.
I respectfully disagree.
That's fine. You can.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Can I have a roll call vote, Stacey?
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacey Carter?
Yes.
Ken Chandler?
No.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Brian Johnson?
No.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. New business, nominating committee. Each fall, we will reach out to IHLS members to participate on the nominating committee. This committee will be approved at the next board meeting in November. The following board seats will be open. Academic Library Representative Sarah Hill is eligible to run. Special Library Representative Stacey Carter will not be running again. School Library Representative Tiffany Dregge is eligible to run. Public Library Trustee Representative Chastity Mays is eligible to run. Public Library Trustee Representative Kelly Sullivan is also eligible to run. Okay, let's go to IGB, IHLS Financial Policy Proposed Changes Attachment 5.1.
So in your packet, attachment 15.1 lines out changes in three areas of our financial policy. One has to do with needing to report a mid-year to the Illinois State Library. They've indicated that they can gather all the information they need from our monthly financial report, so that's no longer necessary to include. The information related to the disposal of items and procurement, which involves the $25,000 threshold for RFPs that was changed by law.
Got it.
Okay. Are there any questions about the proposed changes?
Do I have a motion and second to approve the financial policy proposed changes?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Ann. Do I have a second? Thank you, Linda. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I have one more roll call vote there, Stacey.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacey Carter?
Yes.
Ken Chandler?
Yes.
Jenna Griffith?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Brian Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried. IHLS Benefits Plan Attachment 15.2. I believe Jill has a brief overview. No? Is there a, you have an overview? Okay. Sorry.
So for our benefits this year, we had asked One Digital, our current broker provides that professional service to us, to go out for bidding. In addition, we also received a bid from CMS, which is the government health plan, just to make sure that we were doing our due diligence and receiving all acceptable bids. So our recommendation for this year, for the calendar year 2023, is to continue with our current benefits package that proves to be the most cost effective. And it is a 8.34% increase. And it is under the budgeted increase that we had received. So our rates for Guardian, which were our dental, our vision, and our life insurance carrier, last year when we went out for benefits, they locked in a two-year rate plan, so there were no changes in those costs. We did go out for bid for two other carriers, and Guardian as well came back as the most cost-efficient plan for us to continue. In addition, what we would like to do, based on ILA's opening presentation, was about wellness and self-care. So what we would like to propose as well is an additional mental health and wellness benefit that is provided through Guardian with Spring Health. It provides coaching sessions to all of our employees and their dependents, age 6 to 26. It also provides sessions for consultations, both either telehealth or in person. And it is an extension of our current EAP process. One fabulous thing that it also offers is a care navigator, somebody who is committed to ensuring that, number one, they're getting the benefits that they need for whatever issues may arise, but also a care navigator to make sure that our benefits plan is giving them the best care possible, giving them resources to medication and also online assessments and any type of need that they need if they need outside referrals to such benefits. So I think it's a fabulous benefit that IHLS can offer, because we all know in today's society, mental health and wellness is so very important. So that is our proposal. Anybody have any questions for me regarding process or any of the details that were provided? Hopefully you've all had an opportunity to go out to the board intranet and review the details and the specifics of our presentation and how we kind of go through the benefit process, because it is quite a lengthy process. So I didn't mean to bore you all so much with all of the details, but there is really a lot to it. And the biggest issue that we have is we cannot start going out for bids until 10/1, because that's when we get renewal rates. So that puts us in this really tight time frame. So the personnel committee last night was gracious enough to go through a special meeting, so that way we could review this information and they could give a recommendation to move forward with the renewal rates and adding the Spring Health. Have any questions for me? I'm happy to answer them.
I was curious. You said United Healthcare will not bid because of a large active claim. How long has that claim been going on? Because I thought you had Blue Cross Blue Shield last year.
They will not bid due to a large existing claim on our plan. So they cannot give us the specifics. I mean, that's private.
I don't want specifics.
As far as like how long it's been going on, they just have an outstanding claim. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. The life insurance, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that even part-time people get this insurance, get the life insurance. Okay, I guess my question is on this is, if you have part-time people, they come and go, you're putting out this life insurance for them as a benefit, how many of those people actually carry that benefit with them or opt in to pay it off versus how many just drop it and we've lost them and the money's just been spent?
Okay.
You happen to know that?
It is not like a lose it or use it benefit. It is a benefit that is up to $25,000. It's an age-based policy. So it goes from $25,000, $16,500 down to $12,500 based on the age. Every single employee of IHLS receives that benefit, no matter if you are full or part-time.
Right, I understood that.
So it is like a term.
Yeah, it's term life, it's not whole life, there's no value.
Correct. There's no value to it. Once you leave IHLS, you no longer can continue that benefit.
Oh, okay, well, I read that you could, but so I guess my point is if these people are coming and going and you're putting that money in, it seems to me like it's a waste of money because it's gone. If they aren't, if they were to continue that and pay for it on their own outside, I could see that as a true benefit. But I guess I'm having a problem with, you know, because some of our people are shorter term for various reasons. So I guess I'm wondering why.
I think that that's a good question. It's a recruiting strategy. I mean, we need to offer benefits to full and part-time to recruit people to come work for us. So in my opinion, it's a recruiting strategy. And I hate to even say this, but in the past years, we've had a part-time employee whose grandmother needed to use that plan. And that came in very handy that IHLS had offered.
Yeah,
great benefit. Because a lot of part-time folks, I mean, you need to understand, they're not making a lot of money. They're making minimum wage. Should something happen to them, $25,000 is a lot of money to bury them and to help their families financially.
But how many and I know you haven't been here over the years, but how many times, let's say in the past 5 years, has something tragic happened?
I cannot speak for that. I can just speak for the time that I have been here. And I will be here 3 years in January, and we have seen the need for that plan. And it's kind of a safety net. You know, when you're a part-time employee, you're coming in and you have that limited income, you know, people really appreciate that we offer that part-time benefit to them. I've had people specifically state to me that it's just kind of a safety net and they appreciate it because a lot of places don't offer part-time benefits.
Yeah.
So,
I was wondering what does that cost us?
Using one digital, were you able to go in and do the presentation that I had?
Yes, I did review it.
Okay, let me just grab my information here.
I felt your presentation was very helpful too.
Well, good, thank you, I appreciate that. So there is a slide on here that talks about their specific commissions.
Apologize, Jenna.
Coming over here, you can see her more room. So there is a one digital fee structure. That slide specifically outlines the fees that one digital receives. So for example, the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Health, they receive a sliding scale of approximately 3.9% commission for the premiums.
Well, I did read that, but I wondered how that translated to dollars and cents.
Well, that's going to change monthly just based on how many individuals are participating on our plan.
So what's an example of a month then?
My financial person here, our bills are typically about 30,000 with Blue Cross and Blue Shield, is that correct?
I mean, if you look at, say our base plan that we were choosing and it's renewal at $746.05, well, it's 3.9% of each one of those. So, you're looking at
$4
on each month for each person.
Were you able to hear that,
Ann? No, I didn't get to the total dollar. I got to the so much per person. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
It would be like $24. I mean, we would have to go and calculate how many employee-only plans we have, employee spouse, employee children, and employee family. So that's going to differ based on the options that are chosen by our employee base population.
And one last question. The mental health and wellness, what does it cover that the insurance wouldn't cover? Because if they needed help, they could go to the doctor would make referrals. So it will cost us more, but what are the benefits that a doctor couldn't refer them to that the insurance would cover, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, it's mental health and wellness care at their fingertips. Our tools and resources are available on the phone. They can call at any time if they are having an issue that where they need to talk to somebody immediately. All they have to do is push a button and they get immediate care. And they also get that care navigator that I had discussed a little bit, which is a person to help them. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, if you're already having a mental health crisis, the last thing you need is the stress to go ahead and figure out, how am I going to maintain? How am I going to get my medications? What am I going to do? Who am I even going to see? That care navigator is going to be their specialist to take away that burden from them. So that's what's so very important. It is unlimited coaching sessions. Yes, it's limited to the mental health side of things, which is 5 per year per person that's on that plan. But it is so much more than just our current EAP. It is just taking that extra step to be able to provide the care that they're going to need immediately. Does that answer your question, Ann?
It does. Thank you.
Anybody else have any further questions? Thank you.
I have a motion and a second to approve the IHLS benefits plan.
So moved.
Thank you, Kevin. That's Jeff second. Thank you, Karen. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? We have a roll call vote, Stacey.
Loretta Broomfield?
Yes.
Karen Bounds?
Yes.
Stacey Carter?
Yes.
Ken Chandler?
Yes.
Anna Griffin?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ian Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes.
Lynn Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Let's go to agenda building. Any items you want to discuss next month? All right, hearing none, is there any public comment? Announcements?
I have just a quick announcement. Cassandra and Ryan and myself, I think that's everyone here, serve on the Reaching Forward South Planning Committee, and we just opened up a call for proposals for programs. It is going to be April, I think this is the 14th, April something, 2023, in O'Fallon.
Oh.
Have suggestions for programs or want to present, you know, forms online.
All right, thank you, Loretta. All right, it is 6:01. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
You have it.
Thank you, Karen. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Linda. Oh, sorry, 6:03. A motion and a second. You can have one more roll call vote, please.
Loretta Broomfield.
Yes.
Sarah Bell.
Yes.
Stacey Carter?
Yes. Ken Chandler?
Yes.
Griffin? Yes. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Tammy Krause?
Yes. Kevin
Kelsey?
Yes.
Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Josh Short?
Yes.
Kelly Sullivan?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carried. Good night, everyone.